Good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning. So I'm going to start a series this morning called Make Room, and it's going to be our Christmas theme for the month of December. And I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. It's a message that really stirred Dee and I. We listened to it by one of the guys that we listen to. Dee and I have a devotion every morning, and this was one of the series that we listened to by Craig Groeschel. And some of the points are from this message. But what I want to hope to remind you about this morning is that this world is not our home, that we are just passing through, that we are temporary citizens. In Philippians 3, it says, but we are different because our citizenship is in heaven. And from there, we eagerly await the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing to me as we travel through life, how much of the wrong stuff we end up accumulating. We accumulate hurts, we accumulate junk, we accumulate seeds of discontent that grow into all sorts of problems. Hello? And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about letting go of some of the stuff that holds us down, that weighs us down, that holds us back, so that we could really live a life honoring to God and a life filled with peace. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. The encumbrance there is talking about a weight. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So it's difficult for us to run a race when we are carrying weights upon us. And the encouragement we have from God's word is that we need to be able to run the race without a weight, without those things that hold us down. In the message, it says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down. Everyone say, strip down. Start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. My key thought that I want you to walk away from this morning with is it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. So in Ecclesiastes 4:6, it says it this way. Better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with painful effort, a vain striving after the wind and a feeding on it. In the Afrikaans Bible, it says it, toch is a handful met rus, beter as twee handen vol met moeite en een gejaag na wind. Everybody say, better is a handful with peace than two handfuls with strife and toil. He's saying better. So this is what the Bible is encouraging us with. He's saying, listen, it is better to have one handful with tranquility. In one translation, it says, it is better to have one handful with tranquility than to have two handfuls with strife. And in one translation, again, he says, spitting into the wind. It's better to have more of what counts and less of what doesn't count. It's better to have one handful with peace and tranquility than two handfuls with strife and toil and spitting into the wind. The problem is our culture is screaming at us that the opposite is true. And you can go back to the Garden of Eden and discover where this lie was birthed, because it was Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden and God gave them everything, and the serpent came and said, did God really give you everything? I think that God is withholding from you and he's holding out, and actually you are missing out and there is more. So we have all these blessings from God, but we've been bought into the lie that you need something else to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be complete. So if I just get more stuff, if 1 rand is better, 1 rand is good, then 2 rand is better. If one car is good, 2 is better. If one child is good, 4 is better. In Luke 12, verse 15 in the Amplified, Jesus is speaking and he says, then he said to them, watch out. Everyone say, watch out. Okay, so this is like, when you read the scripture, I want you to think of all sound. He's saying, watch out and guard yourselves. You know, most of us have alarms in Eisner, and we live in a relatively crime-free environment, okay? But we still have all sound. And all sound, we pay them to watch out and to guard. And the scripture here is saying, watch out and guard yourselves, not against the devil. He's saying, watch out and guard yourselves against every form of greed. For not even when one has an overflowing abundance does his life consist of, nor is it derived from his possessions. In the Passion, it says it this way. Speaking to the people, Jesus continued, be alert and guard your heart from greed and always wishing for what you don't have. For your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess. Your life can never be measured by the things you possess. He's saying, watch out. Everything in our culture is telling you that you need to get more stuff. You need to get more. You need to get more. You need to get more. And that is the lie. The lie is, I need to get the better shoes to look cool. I need the better handbag to feel better about myself. I need the more expensive car so that I can show my neighbors that I'm doing well. It's like more stuff, more stuff, more stuff, more stuff. And I want to give you 3 thoughts this morning about one handful living. Okay. So the first point this morning, to live a life with one handful and peace, is in this Christmas season, throw out. That's my first point. Throw out. So your life does not consist of the things you possess and the junk that you have in your garage, in your closet, in your attic that is overflowing. Your garage is so full you can't park your car in it. Your life does not consist of the stuff that you possess. In Mark 10, Jesus was dealing with a rich young ruler, and as he was sitting on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So here again, he's asking the question about performance for eternity. What can you do to inherit something? Now, that question in itself is an oxymoron. There is nothing you can do to inherit something. An inheritance is based on somebody else writing in a will for when they die. You don't earn it. They earned it. You get it because it's in the will. So you can't do something to get eternal life. Okay, we're clear with that, eh? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Really? Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. In the one translation, it says, Jesus felt genuine love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven and come follow me. So get more of those things, that which matters, and less of what doesn't matter. He's saying, listen, I want you to have an eternity consciousness by investing in eternity. And he says, and you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. But at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned a lot of stuff. It's not wrong to have a lot of stuff, okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God is a generous God. God blesses us. It's wrong when our stuff has us. So it's not wrong to have stuff, but it is wrong when that stuff owns me, when I'm looking at that stuff to define who I am, because that's the lie. I can't be defined by the stuff I have. I'm defined by what God has said about me. I don't get my value out of my stuff. I get my value out of what God purchased for me. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. I can't be satisfied by how much stuff I have. He's saying only God can satisfy my heart. The deep longings of my heart can only be satisfied in a relationship with Him. So why is it that we hold on to stuff? Why can't we give it away? Why can't we throw it out? Well, I believe there's two reasons. Number one is fear. And we're afraid because I might need it for that rainy day. So I'm afraid that if I give it away, that when that rainy day comes, I'm not going to have it. And all that is fear, because we don't believe that the same God who provided for me today will provide for me when I need it. Hello? We're afraid. So we're afraid. We live with the sense that God will not provide when I need His provision. So we hang on to stuff that we should be blessing other people with. And the second reason is sentiment. Granny gave me this. I can't throw that out. Oh, can you remember when we went to that wedding and you've got one champagne glass with the people's names on it? And you hang it, you never use that champagne glass, but it sits there in your cupboard. Why? Because remember, we went to that wedding. And we have sentimental things that we hang on to, which we could be blessing other people with. You know, there's some stuff you've got in your garage, in your cupboard, in your closet, that is just taking up space. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. And we're hanging on to it for sentimental reasons, and I would like to suggest to you that why don't you thank God for the time and the memory that brought to you, but then go and bless somebody with it. Because you're hanging on to stuff and you're keeping stuff that you're never going to use for sentimental reasons. So my wife and I have made a commitment that this week we are chucking. We call it the big chuck. Anything that we have not worn in the last year goes. I have like 25 t-shirts, of which I only wear 5. Because I keep 20 in case I need to paint the house, which I'm never going to do. And so we've made the commitment that if it hasn't been used in the last year, it goes. There's stuff in my garage, like old brake pads, in case. When are you ever going to use old brake pads? I want to encourage you in the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to come, make room for Christ in your heart. Get rid of stuff that you don't need to be hanging on to. You don't bring it here. I don't want it. Go and find somebody. Go and bless them. Okay? We don't want it. Okay? I don't want it. We get rid of it. Go and bless somebody. Go and sell it for scrap. I don't care. Go and be a blessing to somebody. Begin to throw things out. Don't be afraid. Don't hold on to things because of sentiment. Just get rid of it. Thank God for it that God gave it to you when you needed it, but you don't need it anymore. Bless somebody. Some of you have got bicycles that you're keeping there for one day when you're going to ride the bicycle. You're never going to ride the bicycle. You had the image in your head, my wife and I are going to go riding around the lagoon, and she hates cycling. It's gathering rust. Go and bless somebody who would love a bicycle. My second point is buy less. And you're sitting here, it's like, oh, I missed that one completely. It was Black Friday on Friday, so I've totally missed out on that one. But you know, 62% of people actually admit to shopping to cheer themselves up. 62% of people. Why? Because it's like when I go shopping, I feel powerful. It's a form of entertainment. I want something new and I want something clean. And so when I do that, I get a little bit of significance out of something that I've bought. And it's fleeting because it doesn't last. And so I want to encourage you this morning, you don't need to go and buy something to be happy. Say amen, somebody. Amen. In Psalm 119, in the Passion, verses 36, it says, Lord, cause my heart to bow before your words of wisdom and not to the wealth of this world. Let me bow to you, Lord, and to your words of wisdom rather than to the wealth of this world. Help me turn my eyes away from illusions so that I pursue only that which is true. Drench my soul with life as I walk in your paths. So he's saying that this world and the illusions of this world keep us distracted from that which is important. More of what counts and less of what doesn't count. In Colossians 2:10 in the Passion, it says, our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. So I don't need to buy more to feel complete. That's what the word is saying. He's saying, no, I'm complete in Christ. So I don't need to buy something for significance. No, I have significance in Christ. So I don't need to buy something so that I can feel valuable. No, God has said that I'm valuable. So Lord, I come to you knowing that I'm complete in you. In the Afrikaans Bible, it says it this way. In en verbondenheid met hom deel julle in sy volheid. You partake of his completeness, of his fullness. You have been included in that. And hy is die hoof oor elke mag en gesag. So I don't need things to define who I am. Because of Jesus, I have been defined. So I want to encourage you, instead of buying more things, invest in more experiences. So with my kids, when they talk about the happy things, and we ask them, what memories do you have? You know, we asked them a week ago, well, what are the memories of this year? Not once did they talk about something that we bought them. They never said, no, it was when we bought the new cell phone or the new pair of jeans. Or what they shared with us were the experiences that we shared as a family. I want to encourage you, instead of buying more things, invest in more experiences with friends, with family, because those things are eternal and lasting. Those are the things that really make an impact on your heart. Not the new thing that you bought. No, but the time, the experience that you had with those that you love. Amen. And my last point this morning, give more. In 1 Timothy 6:17 to 20 in the New King James, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So God gives everything, good things for you so that you can enjoy them, but he's saying don't put your trust in that. It's fleeting, but rather put your trust in the living God. Verse 18, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So again, he's saying storing up for something that you may partake of eternal life. Invest in eternity. Command those people who are rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, to be willing to... Now, I know many of you are saying, yeah, but I'm not that rich. I know someone who's rich, but I'm not the rich guy. Well, you know, that's a lie. Because if you got here in a car this morning, you are in the 7% richest people on the planet. If you can order pizza via the cell phone, you are also in the top 7% of richest people on this planet. So we just got to look at things in context, because we think, no, I know other people, but I'm actually not that rich. If you're seated here this morning and you got here by car, and you had breakfast this morning, you are in the top 7% wealthiest people on the planet. You live a very blessed and prosperous life. But your life does not consist on the stuff you get. He's saying that when I partake of eternal life, I'm partaking of eternal life by my investment in eternity, by being willing to share, by being generous, by being rich in good deeds. So when I experience... when I choose experiences over stuff, then my life begins to overflow. You know, I think about the times when Dee and I have made sacrificial giving in people. through giving away stuff. I'll never forget how that made me feel, how wealthy it made me feel, that I could be in a position to do that. And that's what happens when we give, because we are investing in people, we're investing in experiences, we're investing in seeing somebody else's life improve. Let's not be spitting into the wind. Everyone say, better is one hand with tranquility than two hands with striving and toil. It's saying better. It's saying your life will be better with one hand and peace than two hands trying to accumulate more with striving and toil and spitting into the wind. Just think about that analogy. Spitting into the wind. In your face, buddy. Better is one hand with peace and tranquility than two hands with striving and toil and spitting into the wind. This world is not your home. You are passing through. So don't allow the illusion of what this world wants to give you to define who you are. But make the decision in your heart that this week, this next 2 weeks, you're going to throw some stuff out. How many of you want to take up that challenge? Let me see. I see those hands. Go and declutter your life. Begin to get rid of stuff that you don't need. Go and bless somebody. And I tell you, there are a lot of people who will really be blessed by your generosity, by you giving away something that you haven't used in the last year. Go and bless somebody. Throw it out. Don't think that this Christmas season, you've got to go and buy the most expensive gift to make those people around you happy. No, rather invest in an experience. You know, Dee and I went with our kids walking on the beach on Friday, because our nieces come from Joburg. You know how what it does for your soul to just go and walk on the beach? Go and spend quality family time. Go and do something that is an experience with your loved ones. And this Christmas season, make a decision in your heart that you're going to be generous. Because we're thinking about, well, why do I have to buy that for so-and-so? Do they really deserve it? Just be generous. Be kind. Be willing to share. Amen. Make room. Make room for that which matters.